Hey, it's Mozzie here. I don't have much experience when it comes to rallying, but Waukesha Racing Services does. And they're available now for your rally needs. They can help you with engines, design, paint, machining, fabrication. No job is too big or too small. There's CNC machines, 3D printers, a chassis build shop, and paint and engine shop that you can utilize. And you don't need to be an Aussie champion or factory back to be able to. From club to state to national level competitors and car owners, let Waukesha Racing Services help you with your rally needs. Call now on 1300 W Racing or email services at waukeshawracing.com.au.
This is the Special Stage Rally Podcast. We're into March and we're getting closer to the rallying season. Peter Whitten, it's nice to talk to you.
G'day, Luke. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. Every week it seems as though there's lots and lots to talk about, which we love. Particularly overnight, there was news that Rally Finland are going to return to one of their most favourite stages and really the most famous stage of all the World Championship on in Pohja. It'll be a real treat for those at Rally Finland and particularly those on our tour. That stage is pretty iconic, Peter, and it's nice to see it back on the calendar.
It sure is, and being run at its full length of 33 kilometres this year, so it's going to be fantastic. And for those, I guess, casual rally fans who may not be pretty au fait with what Onin Pohja is, they may well have seen the famous YouTube clip of Petter Solberg and his Subaru driving that stage super, super fast. And at some stage, Phil Mills says, it gets quicker now. And yeah, it really does. It's a tremendous video.
It is. It sure is. Those crazy Rally 1 hybrid machines that we've been talking about over the past little while, They're amazing to watch and they're amazing to see live, and I can't imagine what they'll be like on Rally Finland this year. Our tour guests, like we mentioned on the last podcast, will be able to experience all those. So if you're interested in heading over to Finland, feel free to jump on our website and check that out. But in that Onin Pohja stage, I remember reading something about the cars being in the air for just an astonishing amount of time. That's the amount of jumps and the amount of crests that are on that stage. It's just a remarkable stage, and to be finishing this sort of hybrid era with a stage like that is going to be quite good to see, because it's a real challenge, not only for the cars themselves to be going at that speed through that road, but for the drivers and co-drivers too.
It sure will, and we saw, those of us down under, we saw the Rally 1 hybrid machines for the first time at Rally New Zealand in 2022, and clearly the cars have had 2 years of development since then. So, yeah, it's going to be really a bucket list item for me when I go to Finland this year to see the cars in action and to witness not only that stage but the whole of Rally Finland in those cars is going to be tremendous.
We talk about those Rally 1 cars and we're almost talking about them in a past tense at the moment, because early in the week there was a big rule change that happened and an announcement that from next year – Rally 1 will still be here, but there'll be no hybrid power. As we know from the current regulations, the hybrid power comes on essentially when you get full throttle. As soon as you've regenerated enough electric power, as soon as you hit full throttle, you get an extra amount of horsepower that will really improve the capacity of these cars up to about 500, 550 horsepower, which are an amazing piece of technology. And the hybrid is going to be removed based on cost, based on the amount of competitors that are competing in the top class. Peter, it's a big change, and I know you've got some opinions on this, but to see hybrid go, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What are your thoughts?
I think, Luke, that in some respects it is a bad thing, given the fact that the WRC has wanted to keep speed with technology and try and embrace those new technologies. But From an expense side of things, I think they just positioned it too far out of the game for everybody. My big concern with the Rally One cars all along has been the fact that they don't transition down to club, not so much club level motorsport, but national championships and the like. So we aren't seeing a Rally One hybrid car competing anywhere in the world other than in the World Rally Championship, and only with the factory teams. That's one of the big problems I think that they've got. And I think because they want to try and increase the number of not only manufacturers but top teams that are running in the WRC, they needed to get rid of it and open the rules up to encourage more teams to come along.
And I think they'll do that, because for 2025, there'll be no hybrid, which means the cost is dropped significantly. The power is going to be limited in terms of, you know, the overall sense of what those cars are going to be able to do. They're going to be more closely aligned to a Rally 2 car, which is what we're familiar with in the Australian Rally Championship and what really forms the heart of the WRC 2 class. I know that it was previously R5, but as the evolution goes along, they get faster and hence a name change here. But then again, in 2026, rules will change again. What they're really trying to do is bring the Rally 1 and Rally 2 cars closer. And in reducing the hybrid, reducing the amount of it, or removing the hybrid altogether, let's be honest, they're reducing the aero as well, and they're also reducing the number of freedoms, really, that the Rally 1 cars have. And in time, over 2025 and 2026, they'll be increasing the amount of aerodynamic support that the Rally 2 car will have, and also increasing the horsepower. So to bring those closer together, essentially you'll get the one class. I think that's where they're trying to get to, or at least two classes that are very similar that can fight closely and also increase those competitor numbers, which really over the last couple of years when we've had the hybrids have been quite low.
They certainly have, and I think you can probably look at Formula One as an example of how that idea can work. And sure, there's some manufacturers involved in Formula One with Mercedes and Ferrari and whatnot, but the majority of the Formula One field is made up of what you would call private teams. And that, I think, is what the WRC needs to go to. Sure, we want to still have the Toyotas, the Hyundais, the Fords, and there's obviously talk of Citroen and Skoda coming in under these new regulations. But we also want the private teams to be able to build cars to those regulations. And they're talking, obviously, about a space frame and a chassis that's going to be able to be bought by different tuners and manufacturers and whatnot. And then they can put their own body on it. So that, I think, is the way that we'll go. I don't think the performance will decrease significantly, certainly not from a spectator's point of view. But I think the team that they've put together at the WRC to make these changes, they've taken a lot of points of view on board, particularly the fans. They did a big fan survey. And I think they've come up with what they think is the best working situation to move forward over the next few years.
All that news was released after one of the World Motorsport Council meetings. And a part of that release or a part of that statement was also a whole heap of different things surrounding the WRC as well. There was information on how promotion is going to change in the future and how they're going to have an emphasis and a set team to be able to promote the sport and do greater things in that space. Also things like cloverleaf formats, as many people would know. A traditional WRC event, well, not a traditional in sense of the 80s and 90s, but since about 2000, rallying has stayed with a central service park location, which stages go out and they run around and they come back in to the central service park. But from 2025, those rules are going to change and you're not going to necessarily have to stick to a single event format. Event by event, it could change. You could have longer events. You could have shorter events. It reduces costs and it also gives good freedom, which can make each event really harp to their individuality. And, for example, Kenya could be a lot different to what a Portugal might be. So I think it's a really nice thing. And, Peter, you've been around for the non-cloverleaf eras and also the cloverleaf eras that we've seen over the past. So what are your thoughts with that?
I think it's the way forward in terms of it'll open the events up, as you said, for freedoms in how the organisers want to plan their own events and make sure that all the events aren't the same, for want of a better term. Already, as you mentioned, Rally Kenya, they're talking about wanting to have their base as it is at the moment in Nairobi, but also having another base in Mombasa so that they can actually follow a route along and rather than come back. And one of the problems with the cloverleaf system, and we've seen this a lot in the last 5 or 6 years, is that it reduces the itinerary in terms of how far you can go from the rally base. So therefore, we're getting multiple uses of stages all the time. So traditionally, you might have 4 stages run twice on the Friday, 4 stages again on the Saturday run twice, and then maybe 3 or 4 stages on the Sunday. So we're not traveling all that far from the rally headquarters and the service park. The change in regulations would mean that teams would have less equipment that they're bringing to rallies. That maybe they're utilizing some local trucks and vans and things more so, but we would have more remote services. So as an example, you might start an event in Perth like they used to do, and then you might go all the way down to Bunbury and have a service down there before you come back to Perth later that night. So it certainly will open up the opportunities for organisers to be a bit different. As you mentioned, there's going to be some endurance events, there's going to be some sprint events, but I think that's what the WRC needs. It's become a bit cookie cutter, I guess you might say, where everything is the same. One event is the same itinerary layout, the whole thing. So I think it's going to be a positive for the championship.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely. Also coming out of that meeting from the FIA was really the surprise news that Australia, yes, Australia will be part of the FIA World Rallycross Championship this year, November 30 to December 1, at the end of this year. Yeah, this year we'll have a round of the FIA World Rallycross Championship.
Yeah. It was a big shock, wasn't it?
When I saw that, I was very surprised.
And we've done rallycross in Australia before, not for some years. I mean, traditionally back in the 70s, there was a very popular rallycross series at Caller Park Raceway where Peter Brock and Colin Bond and Bob Watson and all those guys were driving cars, and it really was popular. And it's well before my time, but I think it was televised on television at the time. And then we moved forward, and then Justin Dowell ran a series for a few years at a few different locations. And it started all guns blazing and then sort of died off. But you spent a lot of time last week, Luke, researching this and trying to get all the information that we needed. And it looks like it's going to be a big thing, and it's going to happen.
Yeah, as much as I was interested in it from a journalist point of view and obviously reporting on it for our subscribers, I was also genuinely interested from a fan's perspective. Like, for me, I love the sport as much as anybody else, and whether it's rallying or rallycross, it's all in the same basket for me. And I was speaking to people at Motorsport Australia. I spoke to Adrian Coppen, who's the rallying person and I guess the rally events manager for Motorsport Australia. I also spoke to Justin Dowell, who you mentioned clearly ran rallycross for starters. Initially, I got the word that it was a private promoter, and my thoughts then went to Justin Dowell, clearly, who was promoter of that rallycross series, what would it be, 8 or 10 years ago now. But as I kept digging further and further, turns out that the event hosts or the event promoters also ran the Hong Kong event at the end of last year. I encourage people to go and take a look at that Hong Kong event. It was basically on the waterfront of Hong Kong and the major city there. It was a great spectacle, and the amount of fans that turned up, really, because it was a central location and a city-based event, I think they're going to try and replicate the same thing in Sydney. We're waiting to hear back on some questions and whatnot from the organisers. I've spoken to them over the phone, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what their plans are and where they are in terms of the promotion, because as we touched on at the start of this topic, it was a surprise, but I think everybody's going to embrace this and really enjoy it, because since Rally Australia, we haven't had any kind of FIA rallying events. I know that rallycross isn't the same as rallying, but our lineage is sort of along those lines. So it's going to be really exciting and for the end of the year to come, and let's all hope that it comes off as the promoters hope.
Yeah, and a lot of people jumped on social media once that information came out that we had the round and said, oh, it'll be at the bend, at the tail and bend over in South Australia. But yeah, as your discussions and your journalistic work picked up, Luke, it's likely to be in Sydney and perhaps on the waterfront somewhere. So it'll be a spectacle, no doubt. And given there's probably a few things to unpack here, and given the fact that it is a stadium-based event, so to speak, it will attract a big crowd. It will be easily promotable. It'll be great for TV. And with the challenges that we have moving forward in all states in terms of road usage and forest access and all those types of issues, rallycross might be something that becomes more prevalent as we move forward.
It might be. There's no domestic rallycross, of course, in Australia at the moment. Do you think that's an issue, Peter? I know that really when there's been Rally Australia in the country, everybody's aspired to go and compete at Rally Australia in Perth or in Coffs Harbour. Do you think that having no rallycross is going to be an issue for the event, and particularly for the feeder events that will make up the whole program and the whole rallycross program of that weekend?
I guess it depends on the structure of the rallycross series, and we don't know as yet what categories they're going to run. I mean, is there going to be 10 cars come down? Is it going to be 30 cars come down for three different categories? We don't know. Clearly, I would think there will be some scope there for local cars to run, whether that be typical rally cars. We really don't know at this stage. Yeah, it's probably not a great thing that we don't have a rallycross series, but I guess you have to start somewhere. And even if the first year it's a spectacle where we just have the overseas cars and we gather that interest, it's got to start somewhere. And we're certainly looking forward to the event at the end of the year.
It's a battle of the technologies, as they're calling it, from the FIA World Rallycross Championship. It'll be the electric cars versus the regular internal combustion engine cars that will be going head-to-head against each other. So it'll be interesting to see and to follow along with that championship before they get to our shores. So let's hope it all comes together as planned and we can all meet in Sydney at a big event towards the end of the year. Max McRae, the former Perth local, we could still call him Australian, I guess, Peter, couldn't we? He's competing with M Sport.
Absolutely.
With M Sport in the British Rally Championship. His father, his grandfather, and his uncle are all winners of that series. He'll be doing four rounds, and I think it's a good step for his progression. Some consistency, which I think Max has lacked, particularly last year when he had a car that was very unreliable.
That's right. Yeah, Max did the Junior European Rally Championship last year, and he showed speed at times, definitely. But unfortunately, the car let him down on too many occasions. He did drive a Rally 2 Fiesta at the end of last season, I think, in the final British Championship round and finished third, if my memory serves me correctly. This year, as you mentioned, Luke, he'll do four rounds in the latest specification, Fiesta Rally 2, which, being run out of M Sport, it's going to be the duck's guts, really. And yeah, it's a perfect opportunity for Max. We still don't know whether he's doing anything in Europe in terms of the Junior European Championship, but this is a fantastic program. And yeah, eight titles in all for his grandfather, father and uncle on the British Championship scene. So Max has got a bit to live up to, hasn't he?
He sure does. He sure does. But I don't think he's going to be going into that championship with any lofty expectations. The British Championship field, by the amount of announcements that are coming out, it seems almost daily at the moment of people who are going to compete in that championship. The entry list is going to be quite astonishing. And Adrian Formeau, who's clearly an M Sport factory driver in the World Championship this year, won the title last year. And the more people, the better for Max to compete against, because he gets a gauge of where he's situated in terms of his competition level, just like Taylor Gill has in the first round of the Junior World Rally Championship. And that's also what he'll get throughout the season as well. So what's important is also, yeah, you need to know where you're at. If you've got aspirations to go to the WRC and to really make this rallying thing work for you, you've got to know where you're situated pretty early and know where your talent level lies. It's important for sponsors. It's important for your motivation as you continue forward. And it'll be nice to see where Max stacks up, because personally, I think he's got some great talent and he'll be able to perform at a good level this year and build forward as the years go on.
Yeah, I 100% agree, Luke. I mean, Max has clearly got speed. He's got the talent there. And we should say that nobody's expecting Max McRae to go out and win the British Championship this year. I think that's a step too far given his age. I mean, he's still only, what, 18 or 19. So, and he still hasn't got the experience of some of the guys he'll be competing against. So for Max to do those four events, and if he can grab a couple of top five places, yeah, maybe even a podium along the way, it'd be a brilliant effort. But I think we need to not put too much pressure on to Max in terms of what the results are, because it is an experience-based program this year, and I'm sure it'll certainly lead to bigger and better things.
Rally action this weekend. What's on events-wise, Peter? I think it's one in New South Wales, is that right? A small event?
Yeah, the Mini Eden Rally, which is based at Toowoomba in New South Wales, which just west of Eden on the New South Wales coast, a small event, 120 kilometres competitive distance. And I guess their big name entry is Jamie Luff, who's giving his Toyota Yaris AP4 car a test run before the Rally of Canberra next month. So, I think they've got 30 odd entries for the rally. So, a short, sharp event, but something to get the season underway.
Those small events really are important in the calendar in my eyes because, yes, you've got your state events and your national championship events, but it's those smaller events that let your novices go out and enjoy the sport and improve on their skills and also just enjoy the sport that we all love, because the state rounds can be out of reach for a lot of people. And for smaller events like that that are cheaper to run and cheaper to enter, I think they're important for the sport. And although they're getting smaller and smaller in their numbers of events, those ones that do still show up on the calendar are really important for the sport.
Absolutely. And we've seen in the past that the Bates brothers have done some events in their Yaris's in the ACT just as small test sessions and things. And for other competitors, the club competitors, like you mentioned, it's fantastic for them to get up close and personal with Jamie Luff and have a good look at his car and in a much more relaxed atmosphere, I guess, than what would be at an ARC service park. So the more of these low-level, shorter events that we can get, the better. And I think it's all of a benefit to rallying right down to grassroots level. So they should be encouraged.
The Mitter Mountain Rally in Victoria on March the 16th is the first round of the Victorian State Championship. A full field of 60 cars are expected. It's a state round, it's a club rally series round, and also the first of the East Coast Classic Rally Series, which that's a series that always brings out some of the best classic cars in the country. The Manambar Rally is the first round of the Queensland Championship. It's on the same day. They've already got 30 entries for that one, and then that's clearly all a couple of weeks or a few weeks before the Rally of Canberra. It's kicking into gear, isn't it?
Yeah, that Manambar Rally in Queensland, Luke, will be important because it's the first of five rounds up there. There's generally a good field of competitors. Queensland rallying has probably struggled a bit in the last few years in terms of event numbers. The event numbers have gone down a bit, but they've got five rounds of the state championship this year. So that'll be fantastic. And closer to our home, the Mid-Mountain Rally, which is run by our own Northeastern Car Club and the Albury-Wodonga District Car Club. Full field expected for that, and seven stages, and I think 150 kilometres competitive. So that'll be a hard-fought event.
That's right. Poor Queensland. They've had the rough run of all the weather, it seems, and rallies seem to just fall by the wayside when the rain does fall. It's a shame for them, and I'm really hoping that they can get a full season in of those state rounds for them. Peter, is there anything for you to bring up before we conclude yet another week on the podcast? As the season gets going?
I think we just sort of look forward a bit, Luke. I mean, we've seen the initial entries that have come out for the Rally of Canberra, which is the first round of the Australian Championship on the first weekend in April. That's going to be a big field, similar event to last year in terms of the route and the itinerary, but different time of year. So you would expect the conditions probably going to be quite a bit drier than what they were when the event was held in November, given that we haven't had a lot of rain in the last little while. And then, yeah, April is going to be a really big month because the following weekend there's quite a lot of Aussies going over to New Zealand for the Otago Rally. There's the Ada River Rally, which is around the Victorian Championship, and then the Rally of the Heartland later in the month. So we are really starting to kick into rally season now, and the next little while, the next 3 or 4 months particularly, are going to be very busy.
They sure are. Peter, thanks for your time again on the podcast. We look forward to chatting to you next week. Keep your eyes on rallysportmag.com for all your rallying news and features. I know there's a couple of good features coming up, one in particular on the Bunnings Forest area and also on a brand new Commodore that's about to hit the stages in Victoria. So a subscription to our website will help you read all of those, and we look forward to talking to you again on the podcast soon. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Luke. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, it's Mozzie here. I don't have much experience when it comes to rallying, but Waukesha Racing Services does. And they're available now for your rally needs. They can help you with engines, design, paint, machining, fabrication. No job is too big or too small. There's CNC machines, 3D printers, a chassis build shop, and paint and engine shop that you can utilize. And you don't need to be an Aussie champion or factory back to be able to. From club to state to national level competitors and car owners, let Waukesha Racing Services help you with your rally needs. Call now on 1300 W Racing or email services@waukeshawracing.com.au.